Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
You followed the rabbit down an unusual hole and found two hosts you don't really know. But this is Gotham, so don't you fear. Stay tuned. We'll be right here.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It's kind of psychedelic in here. I thought that, I have names in my head. I thought that Harvey was gonna drink acid laced tea when he drank the tea from Jarvis. So, you know, I think it's an appropriate song to kick off the show with.
They really should have had acid in the tea. It would have been a way more fun tea party.
I really thought he was gonna start tripping. There's a great Batman story where that happens if you haven't seen it. Batman's gotta fight all of his demons. Anyway, hi, I'm Joelle Monique. You've tuned into the Gotham Show. If you were here with us 2 weeks ago, this is a familiar panel. If not, you're like, who are these ladies? I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys. You can always find me at Lucretialyon anywhere on the internet since there is only one. And I do a lot of the other Deep Sea shows, so why not Gotham? I'm on Arrow on Wednesday, Legends of Tomorrow every Thursday, sometimes even Lucifer after
Gotham.
Lucretia
and I host a comic book show on Wednesday at our sister network, Book Circle, online. You can check us out every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. But we're here today to talk about Gotham. And I was really excited that we got this episode because it's kind of amazing. A lot of really great things happen here.
I know. Like we were talking about before, and some of the chat's already talking about, that the Mad Hatter is a real villain.
He's so terrifying. I really, really like the initial setup, like the wedding, which, you know, the happy moment to when they're in the limo, to that final moment where it's like, okay, now choose. Just married couple or adorable child in a school uniform with a spinny top hat. That was the first time I felt like we needed a Batman.
Yeah.
Which I have kind of wanted the show to be since the beginning, is Jim trying his best to keep Gotham's lid on and being like, why is there not a superhero Batman here to, like, save Gotham?
And that is sort of the point of this story, is to display what Gotham was before Batman came along and how it came, you know, to be the city that needs the Batman.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. And now with the Penguin, with some political power, like, I really feel like we're entering a Gotham that I can appreciate, which is exciting. I've been a fan of the show. We've kind of talked about this before, where it's like, the show tends to make a lot of left turns and then rights itself. And I feel like now maybe we won't have so many left turns, and we're going to have, although, you know what? Right at the end of the show, we got a left turn. Let's just start at the top.
We got some real left turns.
Oh, my God. Who was that woman? I don't like her. Anyway, whose story would you like to start with? Penguin? Because I know he's kind of our favorite. Or we can start with Harvey and his craziness.
Oh, let's start with Penguin.
Okay, because it's kind of burning in my soul to talk about it, too.
No.
If you know anything about me, Lucretia, we like unconventional relationships. And Penguin waking up, Cobblepod, just being like, you know what? Today is a day I'm going to tell the Riddler that I love him.
Aww.
I mean, I know a lot of fans don't like it, but I thought it was super sweet.
To me, from Penguin's point of view, I like that because that's natural for him. I understand people having reservations of if they would actually get together and, you know, because Ed has shown to like women. So I see that aspect. But on Penguin's side, Penguin's never been interested in a woman. So this sort of makes sense.
Yeah, he's kind of, I honestly thought he was more asexual than anything else.
Yeah, that was what I thought.
But it's kind of cool to see, once again, his mother at the forefront. I like that she hasn't quite left. Even with the casting of, you know, a maid who is from the same country as his mother, who is clearly kind of doting on him, but also, you know, chastising him a bit.
Yes.
I thought that their back and forth was pretty hysterical. You know, I'm also going to get you ESL classes.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see... you know, that he was gonna confess his love. I liked that whole bit where he's kind of just practicing and gearing up for it. And then, you know, he has all these kinds of tests where we have all of the, we're not quite sure if he's going to say it, and he's practicing. When he's in the mental institution, he gets that affectionate kind of stutter voice he gets when he talks to someone, like, mostly just his mom and sometimes Butch.
Yeah.
You know, where his voice gets a little high and he can't quite get out his words. And it's so cute. Damn it. And that was really, I didn't know where we were going. I didn't think there was going to be a payoff. Did you?
I didn't think so either. Yeah. To me, it was too soon. I mean, the whole episode is spent with Penguin, you know, wrestling with this. So to have it end with him actually telling him would be weird. They kind of have to drag it out at least one more.
Well, yeah, and also kind of fast. Like, we've kind of seen a little bit of this in the previous weeks where he's like, oh, you know, Riddler says, you know, I love you, you know, and he protects him and he makes sure that he knows that you won on your own. You didn't have to be dirty.
Yeah, that was cute.
Yeah, it was really cute. So we saw the build, but yeah, I didn't really think we're getting any payoff this week. and then, of course, we get Cobblepot at the school, which is, again, one of my favorite moments because watching him talk, like, be inspirational to a child, I wasn't quite sure what we were going to get. I thought maybe just a pep talk. But it's like, you know, and when they turn your back, just push them down the stairs.
Yeah, that was so funny. And that was so Penguin. And that's exactly what I would do. Too. It's like, I have to admit, I'd be much like Penguin. I'd totally tell the kids, screw those other kids. Yeah, this is what you do. You just outsmart them.
Oh, man. And that kind of gets his confidence up again. He, like, plans this dinner with Nygma, and they're gonna... Nygma's like, I'm gonna pick the perfect wine. It seems like Nygma... Is he just greasing the wheel? Is he just putting himself in a better... Because he... Clearly, I don't think he shares the same feelings. But I'm not quite sure what it is he does... want out of this relationship.
Yeah, I know. No. I'm just trying to think. It's like, you know, from Penguin's point of view, this is somewhat, you know, he's looking to fill the void of his mother, Butch, these other people, and Edward fills that confidant, that friend. And yes, I mean, he's sort of seeing it as romantic as, you know, he goes on. But I feel like Ed, too, likes Penguin for, you know, I feel that he needs a friend as well. And I don't get that he has any ulterior motives in the, you know, he's just using him way. But, I mean, he likes what he can get.
They do have a really nice bromance going. And whether that ever became sexual, I think it could play out. But I'm also okay if it's kind of unrequited on Cobblepot's part.
Yeah, I think so. I think that makes the most sense. I know my revelation in the chat says Riddler has always come off gay, but not Penguin. It's sort of interesting how they switched that around.
That
I would agree.
So true.
Yeah, in the comics, like, Riddler was always a little bit, you know, eccentric, enigmatic, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Because Cobblepot always seems like the kind of guy who couldn't quite get a girl.
Yeah.
He would always be trying really. And he's kind of drawn more. Disgusting. I tried to think of a better word for disgusting. One did not come. Repulsive. There we go. He's kind of repulsive in the comics, the way he's drawn. He's a little hunchbacked, like, pudgier with that, like, giant, like, 3 feet off his face kind of nose. Okay. Of course, then at the end we see him practicing. And then this new chick comes in and we see Cobblepot practicing to an empty table. A full table, empty chair at the end. And it's a good speech. It's good. I think that if it didn't gain the desired result, I think at least it would, you know, it would have been one of the part where I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. I appreciate your thoughts like that, but no. Nygma is buying the liquor. He's choosing the best vintage, best years, trying to get the right wine for the evening and the meal.
And to me, that came off as he felt, you know, until we saw the woman, that really, you know, made it seem like Ed felt the same way.
It was a very queer scene.
Yeah.
Straight men can like wine, too, and be, you know, just as pretentious about it. But it definitely felt like, oh, I have to get the right wine for this meal in order to impress Cobblepot. But, yeah, I don't like this new woman.
Yeah, I don't like Isabel.
Who is she?
Either. Well, to me, is it the same actress that played Miss Kringle? I'm going to look that up because I think it is.
I'm not 100% sure. She does look a lot alike her.
Yeah.
But she says, oh no, in such a way that suggests she knows who that is.
Yeah.
Her target, like, to me, this seems like Nygma for a guy who solves riddles. Like, she'd be having a lot of questions here. Like, she looks just like her. She kind of doesn't ask, like, who? who is that? Like, no, I'm this person. Why do we look alike? Like, she just, it seems like a trap. Seems like a honeypot for sure.
Yeah, and that's what I thought, is it was too coincidental. And, I mean, I think Ed's cute, but I like a weird and dorky. But, yeah, a woman, it just seemed very set up.
Just the fact that she told riddles. Like, it's one thing for a woman to find him, like, attractive, but it's quite another for one to approach him and be like, here's riddles. A riddle.
And to look so much like her. That's why, you know, I'm thinking Butch is behind this. So this is one of his jealous attempts.
Oh, my God. I love that theory.
All the chat, and I think so as well, speculate that Penguin will kill her.
Yay! Because I don't like her already. Thank you, Chad, for being our third host tonight. I know you guys have a lot of good questions.
I was like, literally everyone says, well, that's what's going to happen.
No dissenting opinions. Yeah. I love it. Let's get into our main story here, which is Jarvis coming for revenge. We already talked about this opening scene, which I thought was very effective and definitely establishes Jarvis as one of the preeminent villains in this Gotham universe. Were you surprised at all by that first save? I never for one second thought he was going to save the married couple.
Yeah, I never thought so either. You know he's going to save the child first. Because, I mean, and I would do the same thing. No, you don't know the couple, but here's the thing. You got a choice of two adults and a child. Who are you going to pick? Everyone would pick a child, right? I mean, there may be a few people who they're like, oh, this is two versus one, but that's shallow.
I also feel like the child was easier to save.
Yeah, it's little. You can just run off with
him. Yeah, you know, you just sweep him up and you got to hold them back, especially if they're determined to jump, which we've seen before with Tech's creepy psychic abilities. Poor Gordon's got to go through that. He makes the decision, of course. He starts to ask himself, you know, what could I have done? But before he really gets a chance to marinate in that, he's got to be off to the next place. Let's see.
And they did indicate it is the same actress as Miss Kringle.
So. It is the same actress. That makes sense, and also Honeypot. Hold on. Let's see. Okay, so we get to the apartment, and this is where things get really exciting for me because we have giant Easter eggs in here, and it is delicious. We have this giant board that Jarvis has clearly been keeping tabs on Gordon. My favorite Easter egg in this is the picture of James's father.
Yeah.
Peter Gordon, who apparently died in a car crash. I would like to hear if anybody knows if Gordon's father has origin stories in the comic books. I'm trying to think back, and for some reason I thought he was from a line of police officers.
I thought so, too.
Which makes that interesting. Was he killed in a car crash that, you know, was suspect? Maybe, you know, someone he arrested got out, or he was messing with the mob, maybe the Falcones.
Yeah, I always thought that it had something to do with the mob, the Falcone family, that there was a reason that Jim really hated them among just being a cop.
Yeah. And we know that in the comic universe, or at least the original Volume 1 DC Comic Universe, Gordon leaves Gotham and is trained elsewhere and then comes back. So I'd be interested to see if maybe that's the storyline they pick up with. We've also got James with pretty much everyone he cares about. He's in the club that the ladies own. He's with Lee. They have pictures of him with Harvey. So I thought that was kind of cool, but I was definitely interested to see if maybe we'll get some Peter stories later down the line.
Yeah.
I hope so. I didn't notice the recognize the actor in the photo, but he also seemed like a face. So again, if anybody's got those deep cut Easter eggs, Reddit style, layers of discovery, we have to come right in here. I don't have time to research, but I'd love to hear from you guys about that. I really liked when the kind of taunting that Jarvis does. What is it you have against married couples? It was like the last time you saw a woman in a wedding dress, she was holding a shotgun. And I was like, wow. First of all, well researched.
Yeah.
Well, you really went in there and you got all of his details, which again kind of makes him terrifying. His single laser-like focus on taking down Jim. And then, you know, hopefully keeping him alive to continue to be his plaything, I think is kind of terrifying. This thought of, like, I will never get bored with torturing you. I can do this forever.
He's very much like Negan.
Okay, we don't have to talk about Negan. No. I'm not prepared emotionally yet.
Sore subject. It's the worst.
So then, of course, he kidnaps Valerie, and then he kidnaps Lee, and things kind of get really messy from here. I like Valerie and Lee's conversations, though.
I liked that. I love that Valerie was just straight up going for it, like, on the Alice Touches Blood. It's like, yeah, y'all might die, but you really care that much. That really makes Valerie interesting to me.
It makes me feel like Valerie has been in several life or death situations, and that makes me really excited to see what she and Jim could do as, like, partners. Like, yeah. I love Lee, don't get me wrong, but I'm really kind of shipping Val and Jim now.
Oh, I agree. I love Lee, too, and I hope that, you know, they wind up getting back together in the long run. But right now, Valerie and Jim is funny, because I loved her line with him in the coffee shop. Of course you're happy. You get to have sex with me and drink scotch all day.
It's a great life, by the way. If I could live that life, I would be there in a heartbeat. Of course you want to be a private detective. You answer to no one, and you get me. But yeah, we get, like, she is very much like, yes, I could die. I don't really care. I have you here, and you're cornered, and you kind of need a skill I have. Lee does not give anything up. Both very close to their professions. We get to see a lot of the comparisons between the two with them being in the same room, like what Jim kind of likes about them.
Yeah.
Which I thought was nice.
Because they're both strong women, but in different ways.
Oh, in totally different. Like, Lee is very much a by-the-books kind of person, where Val is like, yes, I will meet you in a seedy district to try to get a story. Like, are you kidding me? So it was kind of cool. The girls pick the locks. They almost break free. And then, of course, Jarvis walks in and he's like, get down here. Go into this table. Guest of honor is on his way. He serves up tea. I'm still mad the tea wasn't laced with acid, but okay.
I know. That would have been way more fun.
It would have been a lot more fun.
Yeah, when you have the Mad Hatter, you need hallucinogenics. Sorry.
I mean, maybe they're saving that for the finale, because it does seem like they're doing these kind of three-parter villain episodes, which I can really appreciate.
There we go.
All of the acid. This scene has a lot to break down, mostly between the conversation of Jim and Jarvis. These kinds of mind games they start playing with each other, which I thought was very clever. And also showed an improvement in Jim. Jim likes to break down and grab a gun real fast. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a traditional, like, okay.
He's a cop. And,
yeah. Krisha. Yes.
Hey, you knew it was coming.
No, totally. But in the vein of Batman, where I refuse to kill, I'd rather watch two men fry alive than have to pull the trigger myself. He kind of sits there and calmly is able to flip the tables on Jarvis by talking about, you know, your sister was disgusted by you and she'd rather impale herself. And as he gets to the height of this speech, the moment where he says, and even like with all that pain, there was a smile on her face because she was knew she you couldn't touch her anymore. And it was at this moment that I felt Jim started talking about his relationship with Val.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea, because she references this earlier in the very top of the show. Oh, man, I'm trying to think of the line exactly. Oh, my goodness. She says something like, you know, are you not comfortable with me? Oh, this is going to kill me.
I know. I'm trying to think. Well, we have had some of our questions answered while you're thinking about it, and maybe they can help you out, too. Sky Patterson said, yes, Jim Gordon's father died in a car crash, and it did have to do with the mob and the Court of Owls. That's what I thought. I always knew that there was mob ties to Jim Gordon.
But it also had to do with the Court of Owls?
Yes.
Oh, we're going to wrap in that first, like, you know, what, 16th of this series?
Yeah.
With the second 16th? That's really cool.
And then Jeff Johns, Batman, Earth 1, Volume 1 and 2 is where a lot of this is. That's what I was thinking. I was like, I know it's in one of those, because it's not in the Frank Miller one, but it's in that one.
Yeah. Interesting. So, Jim is, despite being in pain, despite, you know, having to get over Lee, like, I think we've seen him become comfortable in his pain and become, like, start moving in this kind of hardened cop that we see him become later. We get trench coat mustachioed Gordon, where he has faith in Gotham, but he's also hardened by all the things he's seen.
I really want to see Benjamin McKenzie grow the Gordon mustache, like, so
I really
bad.
Hope the finale is just him putting on the trench coat. Like, that, yeah. I might weep tears of joy if we could get a full, like, retcon Gordon. That would be pretty dope. Okay, let's see what else. Oh my gosh. Okay. So, this setup in where Jim has to choose between the doctor and the reporter that aren't Lee and names.
Valerie.
Thank you.
Because it's not Vicky Vale.
It is not.
That's what a lot of people just call her, not Vicky Vale.
I mean, I like Vicky Vale.
No.
We have a very Batman Arkham Asylum moment in here, which I enjoy. The stacks of TVs and the weird angles on the face while you make someone perform horrible, like, make horrible decisions in the middle of nowhere. This is a very pre-Joker Batman Arkham Asylum, the video game, if you haven't played it, where Joker has to freeze all the inmates in Arkham and Batman has to go in by himself, round everybody up, but the Joker's in control. And he's kind of stringed up bodyguards all over the place, and Batman's got to save them from these difficult things. So I really like this moment because it was a video game come to life, and I thought it was done really well.
Yeah, and, you know, in The Dark Knight, I mean, sets up to save Harvey or Rachel.
That's true.
And then, you know, that's a very Joker thing to do. But it's also just, it's like Saw, too. Like, that's so, like, any kind of mind game skill. And that's the thing, is the Mad Hatter and the Joker are both sort of mind game players. Oh, totally. Or the Riddler. He would do that, but he'd more do a riddle.
I really appreciated this moment for everything that it was. And again, this is a moment where we need a Batman. A Batarang would have knocked those wires out immediately. Just a well-placed, like, zoop. And there wouldn't have been an issue anymore. But Jim is just a man. Can't do it all by himself. Let's see. Realizes. And then you're in the thing, and then... Yeah, yep, that's pretty much it for old Jim. We gotta talk about the big thing. So he chooses Vale, which we were like, yes. We felt like they were coming together.
And I felt that he did that because... This is my Jim Gordon. I'll put on my man hat. I'll mansplain this.
Please mansplain to me, Lucretia.
I feel that Jim picked Vale because he thought that Lee was stronger and could take care of herself more.
See, I
felt
that. I definitely picked that up as well, where it was like, just shoot Lee. Like, she's a doctor. Somehow that will help her. I wasn't necessarily convinced, and I'd love to hear from the chat, not necessarily convinced he chose the woman he loved more as the woman he thought, you know, who could handle this the best. And then, of course, Jarvis was like, I told you, I want you to live without the woman that you love. No. So he shoots her in the stomach. Now, I have a problem with stomach shots in shows because, one, a stomach is the most painful place to be shot, but you're also, like, way more likely to survive than, like, I don't know, a shot to the brain or a heart.
Well, and I feel that I don't think he necessarily wanted her to die. He just wanted Jim to suffer. So I feel that's why he shot her in the stomach.
Live without your love, like he did,
and then she wouldn't be able to have kids and things like that. It's more heartbreaking to live with that. I know, but it's just like, you know, that's usually where they go when someone gets shot in the stomach. That's a woman. They're always like, you can't have kids.
They have done a lot of like, and no babies.
No.
Yeah, and then. And then Jim thinks it'll be a good idea to talk to Lee about it, which I thought was the most hysterical moment of the episode. Don't talk to Lee about how you were going to have her shot for your girlfriend that, like, her fiance is now trying to save. Like, that's not a good look, Jim.
Oh, it was messed up. And Mario was no help at the house, by the way. But
my God.
Hospital,
Mario, you don't
check
the bullets before you come upstairs? Like, I know you're not a mobster, but you come from a long line of mobsters. Like, check the gun.
Yeah, dude. Just amateur.
Foolishness.
And Lady Diaz thinks that he chose Lee because he knew the Mad Hatter was going to kill the opposite of what he said. Because we all know he loves Lee more. That's no debate on there, but why? Yeah.
They did use a singular her and she a lot, and it seemed to me like everyone was like, we know you're just screwing around with Vale. Like, we know what you really need to save is Lee. And, like, yeah, I get it. But I just really like Lee so much more. Or, no, not Lee. Vale. Excuse me. I just like Vale so much more. Like, she gets his, like, dark, edgy side. And I feel like that's who he needs to be with. Although, we can stop for a moment and talk about Lee. Is Lee having some kind of transformation? Did you get that a little bit? She's talking just to Mario about the wedding party?
Yeah. I feel that I don't think that she's really in love with Mario. I think that she is investigating something. Because to me, I don't see love in her eyes when she's with him. They're not even really touching. And you know, the only time they seemed somewhat in love was when Jim looked in the window at
when they were in a different town. Yeah, exactly. Before they came back to Gotham. And I'm wondering if she resents him at all for coming back to Gotham. Like, you're dragging me back up here. We finally had a good thing. Because she can't even say why she came back to Gotham. She's like, well, it wasn't for Jim.
Yeah,
so that's convincing.
and that's what I say is, I mean, Valerie even asked her about it. And to me, yeah, there's just something that seems up with Lee because Lee is so smart. She's very calculating and she does still love Jim. So I feel that this maybe has an ulterior motive here.
But it's also weird to me, too, because he was, you know, when Mario was explaining, like, what they'd have to go through if they let his father throw them the engagement party, he's like, everyone in town's going to see it. And she seemed a little more, not that I think she should be worried about protecting Harvey, but she seemed worried about it before, and now she just doesn't. And she's kind of just saying yes to things.
Yeah.
I don't know, I kind of like the idea that she's like a spy or working undercover for the police station. Well, and the captain opened her back with such like warm arms. I'm wondering if maybe that was more for show. More like, oh, yes, of course you can have your old job back. And you'll pretend to marry into this family and you'll bring the police department a lot of secret information.
See, I can totally see her and Barnes being in on it. Yes. Now, I don't think Bullock and Jim know.
No,
but gosh, yeah, no. Like, and she has to keep them out of the dark.
Yeah.
But yeah, Candace Boyd points out, yeah, she totally is going through a transformation. She is becoming more a badass. I like that.
Yeah, definitely. She was down to learn. She learned how to pick that lock pretty quick, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, Sky Patterson's like, Lee is turning into a detective more. Yeah, that's what you say. She picked the lock. She's doing all these things. So I say there's more to Lee Tompkins and this whole marriage with dorky Mario there.
Interesting, interesting. I liked the Alice references better this episode. The last episode we were on, I talked about how I didn't think the Tea Party was necessarily the best production design for an Alice kind of themed thing. But the idea of this white rabbit, just a guy covered in white paint, I assume, some kind of spray body paint, wandering around. And I thought, again, best villain so far.
Yeah.
So clever. Like, lead him to the first place, and then the cops will, of course, take him, because this is what cops do, to round up all the suspects. And then he'll just sit there. And then by the time Jim needs to ask my friend again, he'll be in a place where Jim can easily, like, that whole, like, through line, that whole thought, as far as villain scheming, which sometimes come off really corny and kind of stupid, I thought this was really clever and kind of exciting. Did you like the White Rabbit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, to me, it's like, did he not look like what King Joffrey would look like? I was like, did he not look like King Joffrey? It was either King Joffrey or albino Adam Scott. Because, I was like, you're talking about that. I was like, I have some funny things to say.
I love it. He kind of looked like, is it Hiddleston? Not Tom Hiddleston, but the kid that plays Malfoy.
That's a Harry Potter thing. You know, I don't know that.
I do not know Harry Potter. You know, everything nerdy.
Well, I was, like, into Buffy before Harry Potter came out. And I was in middle school, and it came out. So I was like, I'm too cool for this. I like Buffy.
Yeah, I know. It hit True me right story. I was 11 when the first book came out. It was just planned, just for me. What do we still... We talked about the new lady who I don't like. And the White Rabbit, I thought that was really cool. So now Mario's in charge of Vale's life. Like, do you trust him as a doctor? Do we think he can do it?
Yeah, I think, you know, he is a legit doctor. I don't think, you know, the more I think about it, the more I think that he's just sort of a patsy and an easy way for her to infiltrate the Falcone family.
Totally.
I don't think there's anything sinister with him, and it's going to be terrible.
No, I think there's nothing sinister about him. I think when he finds out that Lee is not really into him, because he's definitely more into her than him. I think it's going to break him, and he's going to join his rightful place within the family.
I can see that, because right now he is not a bad guy, but Lee hurting him will turn him into one. And they said Tom Felton. Oh, so he's the
Tom
new
Felton,
guy on The
thank
Flash.
You.
And fun fact, Lee, a Marina Baccaron, was the original Gideon when it was on The Flash, but she didn't move over to Legends because she has too many other things going
She's
on.
A busy lady. She just had a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope Mario does a good job. And if we look at traditional storylines of mobster succession, when the mother is gone and the father was kind of pushed into making his son legitimate, I think Falcon's going to secretly be happy that his son joins up and be like, my boy, you did it. You came to the right side. You did all of it. Oh, my gosh. The captain has super strength.
Yeah, that's why everybody's like, well, he turned from, let's see, where was the good line? In here. Move. Sorry. Lots of chatter in here. Yeah, Commissioner went from the thing to the Hulk. Renji 90998. Yeah, that's pretty funny. Because, yeah, I mean, I don't know if everybody has speculated Barnes is turning into Bane, but I don't think so.
I mean, you get a little Bane in there. You get, you know, when he's agitated, you know, he gets a little more aggressive. I thought he was going to slap that kid. I was like, don't do it, Barnes. It's not worth it.
Yeah, he was just so angry breaking the chair.
He molded it with his hands. Super strength. Really cool. I was kind of upset that Billick didn't like notice the cane was gone, but didn't notice the limp was absent.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you just forgot your cane? Bullock, he's walking upright. Like,
Bullock drinks at work just like Jim.
Detective Bullock.
Bullock's, you know, he's the comedic relief. Oh, and there, my revelation says Killer Croc is the captain. Because there had been rumors about him being on here. I could see that a little bit more. Or Solomon Grundy. Because, Emmanuel Matkin says Solomon Grundy has been rumored for this season.
Oh, my god!
And
gosh.
There was, like, a tease on Arrow at one point with Solomon Grundy. But I think that this is a better spot for him. And that would be interesting to see Captain Barnes more as Solomon.
Interesting. Okay, wait. Let's break all of those options down. So, if he's Killer Croc, do you think we'll get full-on makeup-ripped jeans, like sewer-dwelling Killer Croc? Like, I feel like we haven't seen a lot of physical transformation in him yet. But yeah, do you think that would be coming?
Yeah, to me, I would see more Solomon Grundy at this point. But again, it could change and he'd start having some, you know, scales and things like that. But we haven't seen too much physical other than, you know, he's got more strength. You know, his limp is fixed. You know, his anger. So, yeah, I've not seen Killer Croc yet.
Yeah. You see a little bit of Solomon Grundy and the deterioration of the emotions, but I'm a big fan of the original poem of Solomon Grundy. The Solomon Grundy, born on Monday, died on Tuesday. Something on Wednesday. He goes through days of the week and he has a full storyline. And it seemed they were moving away from that. But also this kind of dead on the inside thing might work well. Especially for this actor. I think he could do a good job of kind of more reacting to the world as opposed to like creating situations. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? Where he hits these really big emotional points that are kind of just jabbed at him. I like that idea a lot. A lot, actually. Okay. Captain Grundy.
Yeah.
How much longer do we think he stays captain? Is this something he gets to keep doing for a while, or are we going to see him change?
I feel that I don't think he'll be captain at the end of the season. I feel like it's going to be a subtle change of him going, you know, more into his powers, whether he be Solomon Grundy or whatever. Mm. But, yeah, I kind of think that Bullock's going to be captain again, just because we want Bullock to stay on the show. I don't know about if it's just me, but I love Donald.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. I really want Montoya to come back. Like, I know this is kind of a dead horse on the show, potentially, but it would be really great to me if she came back and ran the GCPD, or even was maybe, like, lieutenant to Harvey's captain, and then we could maybe get into the dirty Harvey. Because I feel like that we've moved so far to villains that now that we have really great villains, we should move a little bit back toward great police work.
Yeah.
And seeing what those dynamics are like. Like, when we read GCPD, what I really liked about it was these interpersonal relationships of people just trying to survive one another and then also atrocious acts. Make sense, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah? Would you want to see that, or are you kind of liking this more kind of classic Batman villainry?
I really like people to be more gray. And that's why I say, it's like, you know, Jim and Penguin sort of have this dynamic where they're not all that different. And I like that. It's very much, you know, Malcolm Oliver, you know, just so many little moments, just like Reverse Flash, Flash. There's just so many examples of that that I'd rather see that. Just everybody being a little bit gray versus people being too good. Because, yeah, it's like we need Harvey to screw up more.
Yeah, well, and I'd like to see, because Harvey is a guy who always does what he thinks is right, but it's so, again, reactionary, that it would be great to see Harvey kind of in the same situations we saw Gordon in today, whereas Gordon refuses to act. I feel like Harvey would totally have acted.
Oh, yeah.
And then what are the ramifications of that, and how does the GCPD try to bury it? / how does the GCPD try to protect their own? Like, I really feel like we don't have a sense of brotherhood, and that's fair because Harvey's not a part of the police force right now.
Yeah.
But I really want to get back into that, and I think that they've built up enough of a world that we could do it easily and have a lot of fun mixing those grays.
Bullock has big bullocks, so funny.
And, oh, goodness.
And, yeah, a lot of people think, yeah, I agree, Barnes is not captain. It'll be Bullock for a while before Jim eventually takes over. And, yeah, A. Diamond Cortez brings up that why has Donald Logue been getting so side-plotted, given so few lines? He's really carried so many scenes. I was like, I agree.
He's funny every time he's on screen. Like, there's never a moment when I'm like, oh, God, Harvey's here. Like, it's always kind of exciting to see him, so I do hope that they bring him back.
Yeah, and Lady Diaz agrees about Renee Montoya would be cool because we know she doesn't like Jim, so they'll bump heads.
Yes, totally. And I wouldn't mind if she maybe had it out for Barbara. Like, she was like, screw you, I'm taking you down. And also, let's get seeing lesbians on the show. Like, you know, the not crazy kind would be just wonderful.
Well, in a lot of the comics. Now, granted, I don't want them to be too much into the comics because I like the way that Bullock is now instead of just being a complete piece of crap.
Yeah.
But yeah, with Montoya, she wasn't the only lesbian on the GCPD. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of odd that they don't have any female cops, much less.
Show me lesbian cops and the lesbians will watch Gotham. We will be there. Yeah, we also have to talk about Barbara, who for me gets funnier every episode. Like, Barbara's one of those characters I really didn't like at the beginning, and she's quickly become one of my favorites. I think the writing for her has improved dramatically. Like, when I really like when Gordon shoots a bottle and she's like, uncalled for. Like, this kind of having her have found a real throne for herself in this club, a real place for her to shine, but also not be at the top. And I like this idea for this character. I like that she has a place to kind of be her own wacky self without causing too much external trouble. She's kind of become like the Catwoman for the season. We saw Selina Kyle connect so many people in previous seasons.
Yeah.
And now we have Barbara as the go-to for everybody to get their basis of information from.
And I like that. And bringing Montoya back, considering they had a relationship, would make a lot of sense now because Barbara's changed so much.
Yes.
Like, how would Renee deal with this is a person she loved?
Yeah.
Who's clearly this now crime boss.
It's so much fun. And then, of course, Tabitha is back kind of with Butch, which I like Tabitha and Butch. I know I
they
ship
are
everybody.
Sweet.
I'm the worst.
Yeah.
But Tabitha and Butch are so cute. And what do they say? Poor Butch, only meat and Tabitha. Which I'm like, you know, not a bad life.
Yeah.
You could do worse, Butch. You could do worse. But they are hiding Butch out. My guess is we'll have one more episode before we get back to Butch's storyline. Unless he is behind Kringle, which I kind of.
Yeah, because I think he is.
We've so underestimated Bruce throughout this. We always kind of see him as like a meathead, and he's got the crazy hand. But to see him kind of maybe rise in the ranks as also a intellectual villain, that'd be really fun.
Yeah, because that's the thing, is Butch has had some pretty good plans lately.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's really evolved.
Well, and Butch likes to cover his bases. Like, say what you will about the gesture of Edward making sure Cobblepot knew that the race was won fairly. Butch was like, we're just going to make sure you win. Like, I don't really care, fair or not. Which I think for a crime boss is important. And I know that Edward was solidifying his space within the organization. But I really think Butch had Penguin's back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like, as we can clearly see now, like, Enigma's distracted. And it took 2 seconds. It took a full 2 seconds for him to be like, oh, pretty lady.
pretty lady, I forgot about my guy at home.
Yeah, and I really don't know if he can continue to do the level of work that we saw him do at the beginning, where he's like, here's your stuff as kingpin, and here's your stuff as mayor.
That was so cute.
That was an amazing moment, and I like that they were both, like, binder clipped together and ready to go and very organized, and he was like, you know, you can be organized and professional in both worlds. But yeah, I think we've covered
everything.
Everyone on the show. It was a deep dive. I feel good about it. Okay. All right. Let's move on to some predictions for next week.
Yeah.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Yes. Do you have predictions, Lucretia?
Oh, I predict that wasn't just a one-off thing showing Peter Gordon's, like, newspaper ad. I feel that that's what we're going to revisit, and that maybe that's why Lee is investigating Falcone. Because, yeah, I do believe I was right in that Falcone had Gordon's dad killed, and that Gordon's dad was a dirty cop, I believe. You know, and that's what happened, is they were friends.
I love all of this plot. I love all of it from my top of my head to my very tippy toes, the idea of Lee, especially because maybe this means, okay, wait, paddle backwards. I had a lot of feelings about Lee when she left. Mm-hmm. Like, one, I was glad that she was self-caring because, no, I can't lead around, but also, it felt like a, not a drastic, but a rather quick pivot from James. And the idea that maybe she left to help him find some peace is very Lee. It's very like, I'm not going to talk to you about how I'm going to help you. I'm just going to do it by myself. And then you'll be better and we'll be happy. And of course, we've thrown a little wrench in it this episode.
Yeah.
Shoot Lee.
It's like, oh, Jim.
Lee, about what I said in there. Jim, not now. Not now. This is not the appropriate time. I digress. Yeah, I love the idea of that. My prediction for next week is... it's not so much a prediction as me playing out two potential scenarios. Do we lose Mad Hatter? Do we lose Jarvis? Or do we just simply lock him away? I really need Jarvis to stick around. He is terrifying, and if they wanted to bring him back, like, you know, they lock him up here and then maybe in two seasons bring him back as, like, the big bad, I'd really be okay with that. I like this vendetta he has against Jim. I like that they've shown in just, like, two episodes... It's not going away. Like, he is pissed to stay.
So I feel that they're going to have to subdue him for a time being or kill him. And I think subduing him being that everybody thinks Benedict Samuel is awesome. Everybody is saying that this is one of the best villains. So let's shelve it after mid-season to get into the Court of Owls. But, yeah, we definitely need Mad Hatter back. Yeah.
Well, my biggest hope is that we see the transformation, because Jarvis does tech, and then the tech hypnotizes people. If we could get the hat by next episode, I'd be okay with that. If we saw him need to increase his powers over Jim because the watch is no longer effective, Jim kind of broke that spell, it would be great if he brought a more powerful tech that he created to kind of amplify his psychosis stuff and maybe dive right back into Jim's head. Since Jim turned the table so effectively on him this episode.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, why are we not talking to, like, people like Lucius Fox on stuff? Because Lucius is working at GCPD. Ask him.
God, I'm going to start getting bat tech? That would be so cool. I also think that we're going to get a little bit of Tabitha and Butch in next episode. And I really strongly feel that in the not-too-distant future, Tabitha's going to break away from Barbara. And her and Butch are going to team up. Which I can't wait for. I love Barbara and Tabitha together. Please don't get me wrong. I think they're amazing. But Tabitha always felt like Queen Bee to me.
Yeah.
And I think she plays second fiddle when she needs to make a plan. You know, when she needs to sit back and kind of, you know, get herself organized and things. But with Butch, they could be equal partners. They're the only two people who have equal respect for one another. And I would love to see them be the next, like, crime mob bosses. The two of them together ruling Gotham. I'd also like to see Gotham like it was when the Carmines were running it. Carmine Falcone. Who's the other mob boss they take out at the beginning?
Yeah, that was Angel on Dexter crap. So we had the Falcone family and...
This is a terrible nerd moment. I know. I'm so like, embarrassed.
The other mob guy.
Yeah, the other mob family. There are two in Gotham.
I know. That's how mobs work. There's always like...
just two families.
I watch soap operas. It's the same.
But yeah, if we have more organized crime in Gotham and less chaos and more literal pulling of strings to bring about a result that then the police have to try to I want to move back a little bit more toward a SVU feel.
I love that.
I want police officers and work and Maroney. Crimes. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I know it's something with an M, and yes. That's Italian. But
so,
I
like, when the Maroney's running it, I want to see that again, and then see the cops go after the villains in a more organized crime kind of way, and then the occasional scientific experiment. But kudos, this is one of my favorite episodes of the season so far. I felt enraptured the whole time. I didn't know what was going to happen next, hardly ever. I thought it was a lot of fun. And we had just the right amount of Barbara, who is quickly becoming my favorite character. I wouldn't mind if Barbara had her own story in here pretty soon. I want her to go out back and doing things.
Yeah, like maybe Barbara gets more involved with Penguin and or Ed. Like, that'd be fun.
I kind of want Barbara and Selina to team up.
Yeah.
I know that's a crazy, crazy combination, but I'm desperate to see Selina move away from petty crime and more into, like, we gotta survive.
Organized crime, yeah.
Yes, like, yeah. Totally.
And that's the thing is, I could see, now that we have Poison Ivy a little bit older, maybe Barbara becomes her mentor, because this girl has nowhere to go.
I immediately take it back. Selina should team up with Tabitha, and Ivy should team up with Barbara, because Ivy's kind of already using a lot of Barbara's tactics. She's using the sex appeal. Mm-hmm. She definitely does not care about anyone that gets hurt along the way, including Selina, who, that long ago, was really trying to protect her and was constantly in her corner. And she was just like, you'll learn when I'm ready to have you learn. I don't care.
She was such a straight-up bee.
She totally was. I really liked Ivy before. I'm not a big fan of this Ivy. But I hope this actress can do good things. It's not her fault.
Yeah, I mean, I think her acting is great. The story as it is right now, I'm just not sure where they're going to go with that, because it's obvious that we're not going to have her see it to be a doctor. And the plant thing, they haven't really gone that way yet either.
Yeah. Her growing here, and she kind of likes plants, and she sells some mushrooms from here and there. But but I don't feel that deep, passionate connection to plants. And
yet.
I also think that it was, if your whole... The theme was like, oh, girls having to mature fast in a world, like, I feel like they approached it wrong. They didn't really get into what that truly means. They were just like, oh, and she's sexy now, and then she kills men. You mean a femme fatale? That's how you want to explore?
Yeah, that's it. Like,
I digress. It's just not great decision making, but I am excited to see what some of these other villains do, and hopefully whoever they have, I kind of feel bad for whoever's next, like... Whatever comes after Jarvis is going to have to be amazing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is this Court of Owls thing better, like, you know, shape up? Because, yeah, it's kind of hard to follow him.
It's going to really have to hit, because Jarvis has been stunning. Okay, I think that's our show for tonight. Our third host, as always, in the comment section, we adore you. Thank you so much for coming out and chatting with us. You guys have been great this episode. Lucretia, tell them where they can find you.
You guys can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And all over AfterBuzz TV and the DC Universe. I'll be on Arrow Wednesday, Legends of Tomorrow Thursday. And, you know, who knows, next week. Definitely always there for Legends, though.
Yes. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique, and every week at blackgirlnerds.com. If you head over to blackgirlnerds.com right now, you can see my review for Doctor Strange. It's complicated, but there aren't a lot of spoilers in there, so feel free to enjoy it. Tell me what you think. Definitely join us on Wednesday. We and Lucretia have our show, Comic Book Exchange, on our sister network, Book Circle. Starts at 6?
Yep.
6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll be there. I'll be on The Flash tomorrow. Really excited to fill in. And Westworld Sundays. And Tuesday, Atlanta. I'll be here tomorrow as well. So, thanks for chatting with us, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
I am the night.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.